Well, at this time, I'd like to transition to our message for today. I'm just going to put the laptop on the floor and hopefully not trip over it. I felt as I was praying for today as we're starting a new year to hit on some of the basics, so to speak, in a way that hopefully would just bring some fresh life and maybe some vitality for us who, after, you know, a hard year in a lot of ways, we can be able to kind of start this year fresh and anew. When I was in high school, I used to play soccer, and I remember when we had preseason in the fall that we would oftentimes be, required, I guess, to train all summer. And be honest, some years I did do that, and some years I didn't. And boy, I could tell you, when you get to preseason, you can find out, was I actually running several times a week, or did I only run once all summer? And when you were in preseason, you really felt if you had put what you were supposed to put into practice, and you could see the benefit of that. But it's interesting, in preseason, this is before our actual season started, we oftentimes just did the same thing every single time. It was almost as if, like, isn't there some kind of new skill or some new development of, like, a cool way to hit the soccer ball or do something that we could learn? But it was always right back to the basics. It was simply, like, passing the ball, kicking the ball, having something called cardio, and all those good kind of things. And we would always hit on them. But there's something about that one of the most important things when playing a sport, especially when it's a team sport, is actually being able to work together as a team, which might not sound like an aha moment, but just because you get in my case, a bunch of guys together to play a sport, believe it or not, some players like to play more by themselves than they like to do with a team. And so a lot of times there's team building exercises and all these different types of physical exercises and learning how to pass and play together. And so as I start today's message, some of these are like, these aren't like necessarily brand new things you probably never thought of if you've been walking with the Lord, but they are true things that oftentimes maybe we've been putting into practice. Maybe we started 2020 with putting them into practice, and who knows, maybe you continued through all 2020, or for some, you might have stalled out. And so I know I've talked to some people, they just feel kind of stuck. And so I'm hoping that all this will be an encouragement if you are growing in the Lord, that you would continue to keep growing in the Lord. And for some that are feeling stuck, or maybe just feeling like, I just got nothing to move forward, I have a desire, and I can't really fulfill it. Or you're like, if I have to be honest, Jim, I just don't have a lot of desire right now. I'm feeling kind of depressed. It's a hard season. Holidays are over. It's wintertime, and maybe you're just feeling kind of stuck. I'm hoping that you'll be encouraged to take some steps forward today together. So I entitled today's message, as Karen already mentioned, love God, love people, make disciples. Let's keep things simple, so to speak. So one of the interactions that Jesus had, which I absolutely love this part, this is in Matthew, and we'll look at it in a moment, is Jesus was talking to some religious leaders, and some of them were of a religious sect called the Sadducees, and they were trying to like have conversations with Jesus and just proposing like these interesting questions in a way that probably make him try to stumble. But because, as we know, Jesus is fully God, fully human, he was able to answer them amazingly every single time. So the Sadducees that we're talking about, because they did not believe in the resurrection of the dead as a religious sect, and so they're trying to ask Jesus, like kind of trip him up with some like weird resurrection of the dead question, and Jesus answered that. And so they were like, wow, that didn't work out. And then there's another group of religious leaders called the Pharisees, and when they saw that Jesus was able to respond to the Sadducees, they thought, you know what, maybe we can kind of trick Jesus now on our questioning. The other group tried to do that, and they failed. But now let's see the Pharisees in action. They believed in the resurrection of the dead, so they're like, we're not going to use that question again. We'll use a different question to try to trick Jesus, which sounds silly, you know, saying that 2,000-plus years later. But at the time, they thought, hey, this might be a way to get him into saying something publicly that we could use against him as a way to get rid of him and eventually potentially crucify him. So let's look at that conversation that this one religious teacher asked Jesus in Matthew 22. So Matthew 22, 34 to 40 says this. But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. All right? And one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him, specifically asking Jesus. He said, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" And they're hoping that he's going to say something that literally can get them lost on one commandment, and then they can be like, well, you just then said not this, and we're going to use that against you or something. So, but Jesus, obviously fully God, fully man, replies with this amazing statement of these two or three, or I guess four more verses that are just something that we want to make sure we remember and live out each day as followers of Christ. He said to them, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets." Wow. So that's Jesus' response. They were hoping to get him like law, so maybe some small commandment or something large or something different. And he responds that if you want to sum up like what are the greatest commandments, essentially it's loving God and then loving people. Now, if you read the Old Testament and if you're going through, there's parts in Deuteronomy that talk about loving God and then loving others in pieces. But there's a lot of commandments, actually. There's about, I think 614 commandments potentially at different levels in the Old Testament. And Jesus summarizes it with two. Now, if you're reading this and you hadn't known what I just read, you might think that maybe Jesus would have gone to what was given to Moses on Mount Sinai. And you might remember that God himself had given Moses specifically some commandments that were written down on a tablet. And it's not like a tablet today. So if you're thinking like a Kindle or an iPad or something like that, it's not that. Quick little story aside, when I used to work at Apple, I remember we had a really nice customer come in who was complaining about their iPad not working. This is when they first came out. And they're like, "I got an iPad, and it worked for 10 hours. And I'm really upset that this device that I paid a whole lot of money for, it doesn't work at all." And rightly so. If you pay a lot of money, you hope that something would work. And so they were kind of going through the process of like, what's going on with this iPad? And then there's the simple question of, did you ever plug the iPad back in? And the lady's like, "No. Like, I read that it was wireless, so there's no reason. It's wireless charging," which actually now is a thing, now that I think about it. But it was kind of funny. The iPad wouldn't work because it was never powered back on. Now, Moses' tablets weren't ones that you needed to power. They're actually tablets of stone. And with tablets of stone, God had given him specifically 10 commandments to bring down to the Israelites at the bottom of Mount Sinai, who had gone into idolatry worship while he was up on the mountain. So he comes down with these 10 commandments, and you would think maybe this is what Jesus would go to. Maybe he would go with the 10 commandments. And the 10 commandments, I'm just going to summarize, look like this. And I think we'll have a visual that might pop up on the screen too. But the 10 commandments are this: "You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make idols. You shall not take the name of the Lord God in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Honor your father and mother. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor, and you shall not covet." These were the 10 commandments, and oftentimes you'll even see this sometimes in people's homes, maybe on nice plaques or something like that, but the 10 commandments that were given by God to Moses for the Israelites. It's interesting, I just want to make note, though, in these 10 commandments, they actually focus on having a relationship or honoring God and then with people. If you look at it, and I know the picture's still here, which is great, or maybe it's right over here. They're the first four talk about having a relationship with God and what that should look like or not look like. Not having other gods before me, that God would be first, that there'd be no other idolatry or idols. And back in the day, they actually made idols. Specifically, when Moses was gone, they made a golden calf and started worshiping the golden calf. So the whole idea, "You shall have no other gods before me. Not to make the idols. You shall not take the Lord your God in name in vain. And then remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy." This would all talk about ways of either pursuing God or making sure that we weren't getting lost by pursuing any other lowercase g gods or idols. It had to do with our relationship with God. The next six of them all have a focus with our relationship with others, whether it's honoring your father and mother, which that's a great thing to still be doing, not murdering, not committing adultery, not stealing, not bearing false witness, and not coveting. It has all to do with our horizontal relationships with those on the planet. So it's kind of neat, actually, when Jesus was mentioning, like, love God and love others, that even in the Ten Commandments, which are like kind of like a go-to out of the 614, that even there you can see that a relationship with God, a relationship with others, was incredibly important. It's not just a New Testament idea. In the Old Testament as well, the way we interact with God and with others is very, very important. We can take down this image at this time. So when it comes to loving God, we want to love God according to how he calls us to love him and not according to how we might want to or choose to. I know Karen already mentioned about prayer, but some real practical things, these are the basics, right, of just intentionally spending time with God. If you're a Christ follower, what does it look like to spend time with God each and every day? I know we have church online, and that hopefully is a helpful encouragement, whether through teaching or through singing or through testimonies. But I think we all know that we can't just live off of a one-hour Sunday feast, so to speak, that our relationship with God should be so much more than just a Sunday tune-in or gathering when we can get back in person. But what does it look like? You can take a moment to think about to spend time with God in your schedule, in your week. Here we are on Sunday. What does it look like when we start Monday tomorrow? Is there a time? Is there a place? Is there a plan to spend time with God? To have a time to talk with Him, to listen, to spend time in His Word. Maybe for some, you want to dust off an instrument and just praise Jesus. To have a plan. I know for me, one of the things I was writing down in my journal just a couple days ago is like, I really want to be consistent, which is hard, honestly, having four little ones, with waking up before my children wake up, at least some of them, to be able just to spend some time with God quietly and listening. I just got to grab some water. Quietly and listening to God. Spending some time reading scripture. I like to journal. So putting some things down in my journal, whether they're verses. Just listening to God, maybe journaling that. And that's kind of, for me, that's kind of like a plan I have. Because I notice in my walk with the Lord, when I had no plan and no intentionality to spend time with God, you know what happened? I didn't spend time with God. But yet, I really wanted to, but I just never planned to do it. It's kind of like a good friend. You know, you ever a good friend you want to hang out with? And it's like, man, I can't wait to see this friend or this family member. But I just never put it in the schedule. I just never, put it in the calendar. I never make space or time for it. It's really hard to grow in a relationship with someone, and I would say it's impossible to grow in a relationship with someone if we don't spend time with them. So real basic, what does that look like for Monday? What does that look like for Tuesday? For some, we can have a consistent schedule throughout the week. For some, depending on family or work schedules, you might have to have a variable schedule. So Monday looks different than Tuesday. Tuesday looks different than Wednesday. But before we ever talk about loving God and making disciples, if we're not daily just tuning in with Jesus, just listening, abiding, as it says in John 15, we're a Lord and Savior, we won't have anything we need to be able to love God according to the way He loves us. But we also won't have the love to love anyone else, because it'll be a human love. It'll be based on what we like and don't like. And a lot of times we don't love like God. We kind of love the way we want to love. So what does it look like to spend time with God this week? What does it look like to receive God's love? The love that we receive from God, we're able to share with Him. And from that, we can go forward and share that with others. We're called to love God and called to love people, the two greatest commandments. In 1 Corinthians 13, there's a well-known passage that's oftentimes used at weddings, even though the context is actually caring well for people within a church body and using gifts and service. But it talks about love, and I like to revisit this because I always find it personally very convicting, I'm sure you might as well, to look at what love is and what love is not. So here's a summary in 1 Corinthians 13. You can read the chapter later if you like. But it talks about that love is patient. So when we're loving others, are we loving others and being patient with them? Love is kind. Love rejoices with the truth. Love bears up under all problems. Love protects. Love believes. Love trusts. Love hopes. Love understands the faults of others. Love never fails, and it perseveres. Here's just a couple things that remind us of what God's love looks like and how we're called through His Holy Spirit to share that love with God and with others. Now, as you're reading through this, or as I was reading through and you're listening, are there areas in your life you're like, yeah, I could use a little bit more of God's love in my life? I know for me, just reading this list, I was like, yep, there's obvious places in my life that I want to love more like Jesus and less like Jim. But I only can do that by spending time with God and through the power of His Holy Spirit. So those are a couple things love is. Let's talk about a couple things love is not from 1 Corinthians 13. Love isn't envious. All right, so envy if you want the shorter version. But love isn't envious. Love isn't proud. Love isn't boastful. Love isn't inappropriate or rude. Love isn't selfish. Love isn't short-tempered. Love isn't evil. And love isn't accepting of sins. Once again, you go through that and you just spend time. That's the beautiful thing about spending time with God each day. You read a scripture like this or other scriptures and you just realize, wow, God, Your love's amazing. It's infinite, and there's obvious areas to grow. Our vision here at New Hope Community Church is growing together towards maturity in Christ. And when we spend time with God, He's like a good coach. He wants to see us improve. He wants us to run and learn the skills that ultimately will have a more fruitful life with Him and with others. But if we have to be honest, there's places in our life that don't align with the way God loves. And we have to be honest and say, Lord, would you forgive me for being prideful or boastful or envious or maybe selfish, short-tempered? There's a lot of things, and I'm not, I mean, obviously we're remote right now, but if I had everyone in the room raise a hand for which one, you know, you could connect to, I guarantee if you had to be honest, all of us, myself included, all of us have places to grow when it comes to loving others, loving God the way He loves us. So we want to love God, we want to love others. So that's the two greatest commandments put together. If we are loving God and hating others, we're obviously failing at what God told us to be doing as far as the commandment goes. If we're loving people and hating God, that doesn't work either. They go together. By loving other people, His creation, in a way we are loving God. And through loving God and caring for what He cares about, we will have to love other people the way He does. So the great commandments. Now I want to take a moment to talk about the Great Commission. You have the Great Commandment, you have the Great Commission. This is what Jesus told His followers. Some people, they were skeptics, they were around Him. Some people were dedicated followers. And He told them that this is what He wants them to be about moving forward. This is Matthew 28, 16 to 20. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee. I'm going to pause there for a moment. You might remember there was 12 initially that Jesus invited, but one of them, Judas, betrayed Jesus and sold him over to the religious authorities, who ultimately handed him over to the Roman authorities to have him crucified. So starting off with that, now the 11 disciples went to Galilee. So if you had a hard year with 2020, someone betrayed you or hurt you, just realize Jesus can relate very well with you. He had one of His own followers turn him over. But now there's 11. It says, now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw Him, they worshipped Him. But some doubted. So you're having like a mixed group audience going on right here. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And behold, I am with you always. God is with you and I always to the end of the age. As we started in 2021, God is with us. He's with you always. So the invitation that Jesus gave in this great commission to the followers both over 2,000 years ago and today for us is we're supposed to be about making disciples of all nations. Like that's actually supposed to be like our priority. Like the last thing He said before He ascended should be our first priority every single day. We want to love God, love people, and we want to go make disciples. Now making disciples, the key element to this, as with everything we just mentioned, as I mentioned earlier, it all hinges on relationships with people. It's like kind of having like good intentions. Like, I really want to make good disciples. I like the idea. I'm not going to disagree with the scripture. But are we actually making disciples? Are there relationships that we are intentionally pouring into that are reflecting how Christ discipled His disciples or how Paul discipled Timothy or others in the New Testament would disciple others, not into themselves, but into Jesus. Not into themselves, but into Jesus. And the key to this is relationships. I remember when I was a high school student, I was at a camp in New Hampshire, and there was one speaker who I really liked. He had a really cool name, actually. It's Dwight Knight is his name, Dwight Knight. Really big African-American brother, just like super strong, very powerful looking. I always found him very intimidating by the way his preaching style was, but something about it also drawed me in. He just call you out on stuff. You ever been with something that just calls you out? But you kind of like just thank them. You're like, you know, I am sinning, and thank you so much for mentioning that and that kind of tone. I don't know. I just really connected well. So his name's Dwight Knight. But it was really neat because he had two younger guys, I think they were like maybe in their, I don't know, early 20s or whatever, that would literally be in a discipleship program with him, and he would speak all around the country, and they would go with him everywhere he went. They would be with him, but they wouldn't be speaking at like these different camps or churches or venues or anything. They would just be following Dwight very closely. Wherever he went, they went, and they would just see what he was doing when it came to praying for others, when it came to preaching, when it came to ministering to others. They would always constantly be in the Word and had questions for Dwight about what does God's Word mean about this, and they would constantly be in a place of conversation. It was very much like a lifestyle, and they would do this for a year. Now, when Jesus was on the planet, He picked specifically 12 disciples, and there were other disciples that would follow as well, but these 12, He was with them for 3 years, and they did life together So sometimes when we think of discipleship, we can think of it as a little bit more of a, maybe like a one-hour meeting, especially in the Western culture, maybe once a week for 8 weeks, 12 weeks, something like that, which is a great place to start. But if you look at discipleship in the Bible, it's much more of like a lifestyle of sharing meals together, of doing life together, of encouraging one another, of laughing together, of grieving together, of looking at God's word together, of seeing how can you apply that and grow in there. And the idea is that disciples, that people would be discipling others, who then would be trained to disciple others. So it wasn't just like, I'm just going to pour into someone and they're just going to be consuming and receiving all this and do nothing with it. But actually, they would be trained and equipped to go disciple someone else. And even though it's just one person at a time or potentially a group of people at a time, whether it's Dwight Knight with two or Jesus with the 12 or the 72 beyond that, the intentionality of really looking at a couple people, especially as we start this new year, potentially just even one would be a great place to start. Of Lord, and this would be a great place to pray actually, Scott, is there someone I could be investing in this year that I could potentially build a relationship with, maybe even have a conversation, hey, I feel like maybe the Lord might want me to disciple you this year. And what that might look like is taking some scriptures, maybe taking a book in the Bible, reading that together, talking about it, talking about how to apply it. Now you notice in this passage, Jesus says that he wants us to go and therefore make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And specifically in verse 20, it says, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. Other translations will say teaching them to obey. So actually when it comes to discipleship, it's not primarily just getting knowledge to someone else. Like, oh, God's really powerful. He created the world. He's with you at all times. That's really, really great to know. But actually applying that, what does that actually look like, that God is the creator of everything, that he's with you at all times, that he's calling you to step out into places where your comfort zone will say no, but faith says yes. And we're going to do that in the next 24 to 48 hours. So it actually looks like a good coach, you want to see people grow. I mentioned earlier when I used to play soccer, our coaches would not be excited for the players if we just knew all the skills, all the plays, and all the basic passing moves in our head. If we didn't actually go out and apply those as a team together, we would be completely failing. We would say we'd be the most educated soccer team that never knew how to play together and never actually applied it. But sometimes we can do that in church. We can just keep learning more and more and more and more, especially in the Western world. We have access to Bibles online. We have podcasts. We have books. We have free ebooks. There's so many resources. So we definitely don't have a resource lack like some of our brothers and sisters in this world. They don't have access to the Word of God in their own language yet. So we're very blessed to have that. But the idea of like, Lord, help me not to just keep growing in knowledge, but may I grow in transformation, that as I learn and spend time with you in the morning, that through your Holy Spirit, I might look more like Jesus. And there is a difference, and I think you would agree with me, there is a difference between meeting someone that knows a whole lot about God and someone who just spent time with Jesus at breakfast. Do you know what I mean? Someone that knows a whole lot about God, like knows everything about God, can tell you stuff, and it's like, that's really neat, but do you know Jesus? Like, is he your Lord and Savior? Like even in the book of James, it talked about that there's spiritual powers, specifically demons. They know a lot about God, but they don't follow God. They don't worship God. They don't love Jesus. They don't love other people. But man, they're really knowledgeable. They know that he's a really higher power, that he created them, that they have rebelled against. Yeah, they know a lot of things about God. But do they know Jesus intimately in a personal way? No. But let me just tell you, the information that you have right now is all you need at this moment to go apply it. Like sometimes we need to read new things, we can think that. Just apply what you already know. So if you know that, hey, Jesus says we should go love other people, God, I just want to move out this week and love other people. If you know that God is saying, hey, in his word it talks about you should be caring for the poor in your area, you know, God, I just want to actually go care for the poor in my area. Like it literally, it's an application step and it seems so simple. But sometimes we can miss it, just like saying, hey, we need to pass the soccer ball to another player so we can play as a team, but we just never pass the soccer ball. We just got to put intentionality into action. And I believe in 2021, if we're all doing that at a local level, one relationship that we're seeking after, one relationship that we're praying about, and maybe a God set up moment that, Lord, I want to invest in this person. I want to disciple this person. I want to train them up so that they actually can look more like Jesus than they have before, and that they might be able to disciple someone else. What might that look like for us this year as a church body, especially when we're scattered around, so to speak? that we can still invest in people, whether you can get together in person and do that in a wise way, or maybe on the phone, FaceTime. You can be creative. An example I want to give as I'm wrapping up, and I asked their permission to share this. Someone, or two people that I just thought had done this really well, even before COVID, I think it's been about 2 years, maybe going on three, is two of the guys within our church body, specifically Ed Noble and Harold Hoyt. About 2 to 3 years ago, they decided to become prayer partners. So they intentionally, outside of their family, you know, not just talking to their spouses, but outside, they decided, hey, let's become prayer partners. And what that looks like for them is that they actually intentionally call each other multiple times throughout the week, which is like so neat. I would say they're pretty good friends. I'm in a prayer meeting with them on Tuesdays, and man, that sometimes they're hanging out in the living room praying together on the Zoom prayer meeting. I'm just like, that is so cool. So they're being very intentional to build a relational kingdom relationship where they can mutually pray for each other. So this is an opportunity just to build a friendship. So if you're thinking like, I can't think of anyone to disciple, let's back it up a little bit. Maybe start with building a relationship first with someone, a friendship, maybe even outside of your family context. Hopefully you're intentional with your spouse or your friends, if you have children, discipling wherever you're at. But outside of that, could we become more connected with other brothers and sisters in our church body? And I think the answer would be yes. Imagine if all of us were just picking one person that I want to become a prayer partner with you. I want to invest into your life. I'd love for you to invest into my life. And might potentially that become a discipleship relationship, a mutual relationship, a potential to build community even while we're apart. Most of the responses that were given on Facebook and YouTube today, a lot of them had a similar theme. What are you looking forward to in 2021? And it was being connected with people, and a lot of them were in person. Well, we're looking at sometime being able to do that in person, but even while we're in this place where some of us might gather in person or not, we can still be intentional to build relationships with one another by using the phone, by using FaceTime, Zoom, whatever you want to use to connect well with one another to build each other up. After hearing about Ed and Harold, how they were doing that 2 years ago, about a year ago, I was like, I want to get in on this. I was like, I want to have a prayer partner. So I called up a buddy of mine. We were somewhat close. We weren't super close at the time. I felt a little awkward, to be honest. Especially, I don't know, maybe as a guy, that's just like a weird thing. And maybe guys, we just need to step up and get over this weirdness. But I was just like, hey, would you mind, you know, becoming a prayer partner with me? And he's like, what's a prayer partner? I'm like, well, I think it's like you pray for each other or something and you connect or whatever. And let me tell you, like I did that, I believe it was last year. It's been one of the best decisions I made in probably the last year, was having a prayer partner, someone out of my family context that we'll just call each other multiple times a week. We pray for each other. We celebrate when new things happen. We'll grieve when the other person's going through something difficult. And we're building relationships. I think all of us could reach out to one person and we can ask the Lord, Lord, would you lead me to one person? Felt like God led me to this one person. But might God lead you to someone this week, this year, that you could just build up and have even just basic conversations. Maybe you might find some common ground to talk about. Sometimes we make everything so spiritual focus in the sense like it only could be a Bible study and it only could be prayer. Yes, we want to do those, but could you laugh together? Could you talk about something to celebrate? Could you go out for a hike together? I don't know, whatever the Lord might say, because Jesus did life together. And if we could have that in 2021, we would grow together to looking more like Jesus, but potentially more and more people would experience the love of Jesus in 2021. And ultimately, there'd be more praise, glory, and honor to God. So I want to invite up the musicians at this time, or I guess specifically Andrea. We're going to have communion in a moment. And if you're at home right now and you weren't expecting this, on the first Sunday, we have communion. So if you have water, juice, bread, something you'd like to participate with, I would encourage you, you can grab those now, because we're going to have a time just to remember the sacrifice of our Lord and Savior Jesus with communion. So Andrea will be coming up. But I wanted to wrap up in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you, God, so much for loving us before we ever thought to love you. And God, I pray that we would just love you out of the love we receive with you daily, that we wouldn't skimp on a relationship with you once a week, but we could grow with you daily, that we would overflow with love, just like so much love that we just have to give it back to you and we have to share it. It's not even something that you feel obligated to do because you're just like, I'm just so in love. How can I not tell people about Jesus? Jesus has just been so good. When I was having coffee this morning, he whispered a verse to me that I've been holding on all day. Got to share this with someone. God, I pray for that kind of just zeal, that kind of passion, that kind of realness, God, with you, but then also with others within our church body, that we would have closer connections with our brothers and sisters in Christ. Lord, as we're spending time with prayer with you today and this week, might there be others that are even outside of the church body that you might say, hey, why don't you reach out to them? just see how they're doing. There's a lot of lonely people right now. God, could I be the hope and the presence of Jesus in some ways to bring encouragement and love to someone? A lot of people are shut in for different reasons, or health, or seniors, God, right now, who are in places of, some can't even receive visitors, and depending on where they're living, God. Lord, help us to be intentional to use the different technological pieces you've given us, and many of them are free, to connect with one another, to love others, to make disciples. I can make disciples. I can make disciples. I can make disciples four times over to bring more men and women to glorify you, both here in Potsdam, the surrounding community, on these college campuses, God. We pray this for Potsdam. We pray this for Canton and SLU and Clarkson, God. May your name just grow and be glorified, whether it's in person, hybrid, or remote. And God, we pray for countries around the world, missionaries, God, we've sent out. God, we pray for just kingdom growth, God. Lord, we thank you that you bring countries to Potsdam, God. There's so many internationals here, God. May we even make new friends, God, as we're at Aldi's or Walmart or Save-A-Lot or IGA or whatever we're doing in life, God, that we might see some kingdom opportunities to love you, to love others, and make disciples. God, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.